All right. We are going to be looking at our faith. Is it one of convenience or conviction? And that's the question today. We've sang some of the songs that kind of went along with the passage that we just read. Obviously, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was one of conviction. But let me give you a few scenarios where maybe... Well, here's what happens. And it happens in my life, too. Let's even say it this way. Living by faith, not so much convenience or conviction. But, you know, when everything is going well, I'll tell you what, it's so easy to live by faith. You know, my dog loves me. My wife loves me. My kids love me. Everybody loves me. The cars are running fine. No damages with the house. We got money coming in. Man, that's easy to live by faith, right? But is that really living by faith? Not really. So then, when, you know, my dog don't love me, Robin's in the nursery, we could have fun with this. But we'll just kind of set that aside. My kids, I guess they're not here either, so I could have fun with them. But the cars are breaking down and everything's falling apart and the world is really miserable. Or as Robin found out from one of our friends that we grew up in college with, she's got this ugly mass on her lungs. And some of you in our ABF said that there's others with diagnosed with cancer. You know, now what? And again, it's not so much the one who is suffering because, you know, I guess we'll see how I play this out in my own life. Should I ever get it? But you can't threaten me with heaven. I mean, you really can't. It's just like, you know, I get to beat you all home. Ha, ha, ha. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, some of the process may be difficult. And then the family that around, you know, there's all kinds of problems there that God's going to have to take through. And that's going to take the faith. But anyway, living by faith is very easy when things are going well. Living by faith, why is that not so easy when things aren't going so well? I mean, if it's faith, it's faith. You know, it is or it isn't. And if it's faith, then whether it's good days or bad days, it should be a relatively easy thing to do to live by faith. So I understand that, especially in my life. And now we're going to come to, I'm going to develop some situations. And again, these are all generic. They're just a composite. I am thinking of nobody in mind. And actually, some of these may sound familiar to you. So let me give you some illustrations. And you tell me if the people who are believing, if they are believing because of faith, or if they're believing because of conviction. Is it convenience or is it conviction? So let's have a quick word of prayer and maybe I can settle my heart and tongue and then we'll get started. So again, Father, we come to your presence and we thank you again for this reminder of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some of these songs we haven't sung for a while. And for the diminished volume, maybe some have never sung before, though the words are still pretty powerful. So, Father, now again, as we just come to this part of the service, that you would be able to, again, help us to be examining our lives as to our belief system, our faith paradigm. Is it one of convenience or will it be one of conviction? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I got a couple here by the name of Milton and Marge. Milton and Marge have been married now for 30 years. Both of them, praise the Lord, got saved 10 years ago. Milton, prior to their salvation, was not a very nice person. And he was even not, how did I say it here? And he certainly was not a very nice husband. And although progress has been made, it is progressive sanctification, which is always then the rub. Because we, of course, wish the others would progress much quicker in their sanctification. And such is the case with Marge. He's still not the kind of husband that Marge would want. The children are basically grown and are out of the house. And basically, she wants a divorce. So she comes up to you and she says something like this. There's nothing left in our marriage. And she says this at the very end of a very long story of discouragement, disappointment, heartache, and frustration because he just doesn't get it. What's the matter with him? So at the end of that, she also says, I don't have a speck of love for Milton anymore. Any feelings I had for him died a long time ago. He will never change. The children are out of the house, and I want a divorce. Now, her whole belief system, which would include marriage and husband and wife and conflict resolution and communication and all that stuff, is that now of convenience or is that conviction? And it's convenience. It's not conviction. Because if we truly believed and had put our faith in what God taught on marriage, you're stuck for richer. And in fact, that's why they say it with the wedding vows. We've had several weddings this year. But, you know, you get up there and, hey, do you, Dan Scogan, take Robin, roll into love, honor, cherish, for richer, for better, for in health, and in forsaking all others, and on it goes. So even at the get-go, you know there is the worse. There is the poor. There's the sickness. And we go in that with full knowledge that this is not always going to be tiptoeing through the tulips in the sunshine, drinking lemonade, seeing butterflies and cardinals. There's going to be some storms of life. But Marge's belief system is one of convenience. And it's not one of conviction. Here's another situation. Noelle is an active teenager in both her high school and her church youth group. Noelle has a teen crush on a boy by the name of Nicholas. Lucky Nick. From Nick's language and his actions, he's probably not saved. Ooh. And now we've got the homecoming dance. It's not too far in the future, somewhere around October or so. And Noelle's kind of struggling whether she should, as a Christian, glorify God with all the activities maybe associated with this dance and going to the dance with an unsaved person. And now, to make matters worse, Nicholas, in his very lambastic and very grandiose and gregarious personality, announces very publicly his announcement and his invitation for Noelle to attend the dance with him. So now, what is she going to do? Does she go to the dance? Does she go with an unsaved guy? Does she decline? And if she does decline, does she blame it on her parents? Well, my parents are old fuddy-duddies. There's those stiff-collar religious people, and they don't let me do anything, and I can't go. That's a nice conviction switch, isn't it? We can just push that off of Mom and Dad. I come out smelling pretty good because it's Mom and Dad's fault. So what is she going to do? What is she going to do? On the night of the homecoming dance, will she be embracing that unsaved man on the dance floor? Let's say she goes to the dance and embraces that young man as they're dancing together on the dance floor who is unsaved. Conviction or convenience? Tony and Tina has been blessed by God in allowing them to make large monthly salaries, most of which you and I would hope that one day we could make, but probably will never happen. And because of some certain recent events, they have an opportunity to hide. We're not quite sure if it's legal or not. It may be legal, but, you know, don't ask, don't tell, quiet, you know, we'll just not dig too deep. A large amount of their income they could hide. And it would save them a lot of taxes. A lot of taxes. And again, they could kind of justify, you know, with all, let's say, tens of thousands of dollars we're saving, we'll tithe and we can give God a grand. But we're going to be saving lots of money. So, you know, but is it legal or not? We don't really know, but it's pretty much a foolproof plan because they really can't get caught if it is illegal. So they go ahead and do it, even though there's that nagging in their conscience saying, we ought not doing this. We ought not do this. So is their faith, again, one of conviction or one of convenience? And I think there's a common thread in these stories and many other stories that we could identify here and some that you know. And there's a common thread, and that is Marge is not having feelings for her husband. And subsequently, he chooses the direction of her future based on her personal convenience and her happiness. Noelle, again, is making a decision regarding the dance, whether she will attend and will she go with an unsaved guy and let those emotions for an unsaved man continue to develop. Will that be made from convictions or personal convenience or happiness? And again, same thing with Tony and Tina. regarding their participation in this dubious money shelter. Conviction or convenience? From the biblical account that we looked at in Daniel 3, and you can open your Bibles there again, we're going to be seeing again that these young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were men of conviction. Their faith put their lives at risk. In fact, more than that, as you read there, at the beginning of it, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 13, in a rage and fury, gave a command for Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego to get there front and center. And he says, you know, what are you telling me? Is this true that you are not going to bow down and worship my image? Faith. Is this going to be of conviction or convenience? Because if they choose their biblical conviction, what's going to happen to them? They're going to die. We are going to be toast. We are going to be ashes. If they decide out of convenience, they're going to live. And there's a danger with this biblical account that I'm using, because most of the choices that you and I will use this week, most of the decisions you students will make in school is not going to be literally of life and death. They will be much more subtle. They will be less dramatic. And I realize there's the danger in using this very dramatic passage because, again, you and I aren't going to be choosing life or death. But there are some times that our decisions do bring consequences. And I've got a listing there of them for you, but we're just going to move on. So for you and I, we do not live maybe necessarily in life and death decisions, but daily choices will be made, and they'll be made out of conviction. They'll be made out of convenience. So let's look at these three young men's faith. Then we're going to look at the consequences, the demonstration, and the conviction. You have that there in the back of your back panel of your bulletin. Yep. If you want to follow along with, you can. Contemporaries at this time period are Daniel. So you got Daniel in the lion's den, not too far away. You've got Ezekiel and all that he is prophesying, not too far away. You've got Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, being not too far away. Jeremiah. Jerusalem and the temple are destroyed during this time. The book of the law, the Bible, has only been discovered about 17 years before Daniel was born. In other words, the Jewish people, as well as the priests, were not too dependent on the Bible. That's why they lost it. It wasn't until the cleaning of the house they found it. And what we have here then is the test of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had a choice to make. They could obey the king's decree, bow down and worship this some 90 feet tall statue and live. Or they could obey God's commandment, not worship. And I know I'm speeding. We're not going to read those. They could, again, obey God's given commandment and worship no one but God. Now, this is something, again, that I find very appealing about these young men. Because here's what I would do. I would do it this way, okay? Does it really matter where I pray to God? It's not like I'm Muslim and I have to pray facing one direction. So if I get in the general proximity of this big image and I get on my knees and pray to God, but these men, they didn't even entertain that decision, which is probably why they're in the Bible and I'm not. But they could have bowed down outwardly and yet still prayed to God. And who would have known? No one would have been known. There could have been their little three secret. But we know that doesn't last too long. But they were very concerned for their testimony of God and this God they represented. In fact, they were more concerned about the testimony of God than they were about their own very lives. And again, students, employers, employees, neighbors, you need to start making some of these applications here. See, because as we looked at the scenario with Marge, Marge's faith is being tested. Now, will she honor God by keeping her vows? Will she obey God by seeking to be the kind of wife that God has commanded her to be, even though God knows full well that not all humans are perfect? When God made these vows and He made us together and we're to leave and weave and cleave and become one flesh, and what God has joined together, no one's supposed to separate, did God say, oh yeah, we'll just wait till these perfect people get together and they'll live perfectly in harmony forever? God knew they were sinners. God knew there was going to be trouble. But now the question is, and this is where I get into, well, people don't like me and doesn't matter, I guess. But they get mad at me because Robin will say, yeah, but Dan this and Dan that and Dan this and Dan that. And I got to stop her and I say, listen, Dan's not here. And it really doesn't matter if Dan is or isn't. What are you doing? What are you doing? How are you responding to it? Even if he's your enemy, what are we supposed to do according to Romans to our enemy? If he's hungry and if he's thirsty, yeah, we're supposed to pray for those and bless them who curse us and praise for those that despitefully use us. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward on 2 Sycamore Road. No, it's still going to be miserable in 2 Sycamore Road because she has to live with me, but where will her reward be? Great will be a reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Robin, you're in good company. But Marge's faith is going to be tempted. Will she drop the bum? Find someone who appreciate her? Probably get married in a church again? Probably say the same vows again? What about Noelle? Noelle's faith is being tested. Will she honor God by not allowing her feelings to be developed towards an unsaved man or young man? Will she engage in that activity and go to that place as she's fully known as being an active member in her youth group? What about Tony and Tina? Their faith is being tested. Will they be blameless and above reproach? Or are they going to fudge just a little bit so we can get some more toys and trinkets here on earth? Because no one's going to find out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith was also tested. And as you look at it, and then as I got to flip the page, verse 16, on the bottom of verse 16 there it says, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We don't have to think about it. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, you don't have to give us another chance. You know, it doesn't even cross our mind, Nebuchadnezzar, about what our decision is going to be. We are not going to bow down to you. Now, we understand we just passed our own death sentence. We understand we're going to have to live with Milton for a while. We understand there's going to be persecution at school. We understand we're not going to make as much money. But you know what? That is okay. Because we are not going to bow down to this image. Not going to happen. Here's the consequences in verse 11 and following. In verse 11, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and this is where it really stinks to be a good, many, mighty man of valor. Because Nebuchadnezzar had some really super powerful warriors, right? These men of valor. Hey guys, I want you to bind these Shadrach, Meshach, and throw them in the fire. And what did it cost them? That kind of stinks. As the cynic says, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. I was just doing what the boss said. And cost them their lives. But in any event, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the consequence of their faith, number 2 there in verse 11, they're going to be cast alive in the fiery furnace. Now, what about Marge? The consequences of her faith is she's going to have to live a godly life in a godless home. But can you think of some Old Testament stories where that happened too? You know, again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I've had people argue with me, well, that doesn't apply to my situation. Baloney! There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You think that Hagar had a real pleasant place to live? And we can just go on. And what about Joseph? And Joseph, where it says that his brothers could not even speak a word peaceably to him. There's nothing new under the sun. God is not dumb. God is not deaf. He knows what's going on. Noel's test is being, or for Noel, she's going to have to be identified with the non-cool crowd. She's going to have to take a stand and be part of that goofy, biblical, independent, fundamental Bible thumpers that don't do anything. They're just sitting among, you know, they're always going to church or whatever the stereotype is. I'm a little outside those circles now. I was working at Honeywell, I heard all of that, but that's years ago. For Tina and Tony, the consequences of their faith, like in verse 11, is going to be the financial loss. They're not going to have as much money as they could have had. Taxes are going to start chewing them up. They happen to be in the upper percentile, and now that we're shedding and spreading the wealth around, it's going to nail them big time. Now we got the demonstration of faith there in verses 13 through 18. In 13 through 18, he says, "Let it be, but if not," again, our God is able to deliver us. "But if not, let it be known, O king, we will not serve your God, nor will we serve the image which you have set up." So demonstration of faith. Shadrach and Meshach, their demonstration of faith is recorded in verses 16 and 18. For Marge, the demonstration of her faith will be, well, if she's going to really demonstrate her faith out of conviction, it's going to be speaking the truth in love. For Marge, the demonstration of her faith will be, if someone sins against you, Matthew 18, you go in. Okay? And if he sins against you 70 times 7, you are too. Even though you know he's going to do it again and again. For Noelle, the demonstration of her faith is to stand alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life. He's my song. I have sought that flag to follow. I've sought a cause for which to stand. And I'm taking my standard and I'm planting it in the ground. And I am a believer. I am a Christian. Yes, I'm one of those born-agains. But that's okay. Now, we'll see how that plays out in life. Me being a born-again, you not. The demonstration of their faith for Tina and Tony is going to have to pay their taxes, even though it's going to cost them financially here on earth. Then as we go a little bit further, we got the vindication of their faith in chapter 3 of Daniel, verses 19 through 30. The vindication, as you know the story again, I kind of alluded to a little bit, Nebuchadnezzar is just, he is popping blood vessels. Strokes are right around the corner. And he binds these men up. He gets his mighty men of valor. Or does it just say men of valor? It doesn't matter, but he gets the men to bind them, cranks the heat up even hotter than it normally is. You know, I can't imagine, but you know, as I think of like in my foundry class or maybe in some of your sheet metal shops or something, you could just see that hearth just glowing beet red of whatever it was made out of. Throw the men in there. The men who threw them in died. And they're walking around. And they're walking around. And it just amazes him. Nebuchadnezzar says, he says there, where are we? Verse 24. He was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke to his counselors. Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they said, yeah, king, we all count. We all saw that. We also see the casualties of the men who threw them in. We see that. But he says there in verse 25, I see four loose. And again, this is amazing. Because they got different types of clothing on, being Babylon. They got maybe some richer clothing. They may have some silk, maybe. I don't think they had polyester back then. But they had silk, and they had cotton, and they had wool, and maybe some flax, and they had different kinds of garments, and all their different attire was fully on there, and their hands are bound, and now just the ropes are bound, or have been burned off. So the ropes are burned off, and yet everything else is intact. In fact, not even the hair is singed. They are unhurt. And by the way, that fourth guy, he kind of looks like God. And that's kind of interesting, because how did he get that idea? But the vindication of the faith for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their lives were spared. They enjoyed a divine presence. And again, you and I, we have probably experienced it, which we say to our chagrin a little bit, which is something that should be thought through. But isn't it true that the presence of God is usually more sweeter in times of severe adversity? We see that there with Daniel in the lion's den. We see that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see that with some of the other Old Testament people. We see that in the New Testament. I've talked to people who have been in the concentration camps. We've talked to people who have been in Russia, incarcerated for baptizing people. And usually they don't really lament and talk about the hardships of physical suffering they went through because there was a presence and a peace of God that had not been reproduced. And for you and I, we've often experienced that as well, which is kind of sad that we're not able to fully maintain that in days of pleasantness. But in the times of hardship, there is that beautiful presence of God. It's kind of interesting as we go a little bit further in these verses, down to verse 30. The king's converted, and he makes a decree now that, hey, by the way, you're not worshiping me anymore. He says there, you're going to be, verse 28, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, 29, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut in pieces. And it's going to affect your families and your properties because there is no God like this God. So things are going pretty well. And then finally, what happens to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 30? They get promoted. See, and that's the beauty of living the Christian life. That's the beauty of living a life of conviction. We win. We become the victors. The spoils are ours. Now again, this is where the real rub comes in because you and I are temporal beings. And there's many times within relationships, within people, within finances, I really don't care about heaven. I want it now. So, you know, God, I understand that if I live with Robin 30 years, holy tamale, 30 years, man, that should be worth some of purgatory anyway, I don't know. But anyway, 30 years with that woman, God, I don't care about the riches and the glory of heaven. God, I want a good wife. And I really would like it today. You know, God, I don't care about the eternal rewards. I want enough money so I can go on vacation once in a while. You know what, God, I don't care about the eternal rewards. I want enough money so I don't have to keep being such diligent, accurate books just to pay the bills each month. But see, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were vindicated. Hope you got your song there, Jason. Otherwise, they're down there somewhere. But we win. We win. So let me give you some ways that Marge, Noel, Tony, and Tina could win. 1 Samuel 2:31. Whereof the Lord of Israel saith, I said that thy house and the house of thy father shall walk before me forever. But now, saith the Lord, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Again, be not deceived, and you know this one, God's not mocked, whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. For what a man sows to his flesh, of the flesh he will reap corruptions. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do not be weary in well-doing. And again, I don't want to marginalize or minimize the suffering that we could incur in school, at work, in our neighborhood if we take a stand for Christ. But Christ knew all about that too. And that's why he says, don't be weary in well-doing. It is hard. And we do live in the here and now. But we need to keep looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. And then Romans 2, 9 and 10, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But notice verse 10. But here's the good news. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no partiality with God. So we win. We win. We get to stand before Jesus Christ. We get to stand before Him at the Bema Seat of Christ. And our life's work is going to be thrown in the fire, and we get to see the gold, the silver, and the precious jewels that remain. And we will receive our reward. And when we stand before Him, He will be able to say, let's see, who can we pick on? We'll pick on Robin again. Robin, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And again, she doesn't have to answer for me. I'm a little bit ways behind her. God will deal with me. But she will be able to hear the words, well done. I knew, Robin, what you had to live with. Because before Dan was ever born in his mother's womb, I was putting him together. And me being the God who is all-knowing, I see everything past, present, future, everything that's actual and possible simultaneously, I know what you went through. And that's why I've given you all the promises of the Bible, some of which we're memorizing. That's why I'm giving you all the provisions of me. You can do this. Millions have done it before. Should the Lord delay His return or tarry His return, millions will do it after you. I'm using the refiner's fire, though painful as it be, that you may be more like my Son, and thereby allowing me to reward you more generously for all eternity. So, young people, as you go off to school, decisions you will make, friends you will choose, reputations you will make, and places you will go. What role will your faith have in the decisions that you will make, the friends you will choose, the places you will go, and the activities you participate in? Workers, and I know those bosses, I'll tell you what, them bosses, if they even had a little clue of what was going on, life would be so much better. But remember Colossians chapter 3? And the work ethic there in Colossians chapter 3. And whatsoever you do, do it. Starts with the letter H. Heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you will receive the rewards of the inheritance. So don't labor like some as eye pleasers or... there's two words there that were of a negative nature. Men servers with eye pleasing. But sear the Lord's sincerity with fullness of heart. Convenience or conviction. And I know the boss. All the bosses are bad. We live in a society that all authority is bad. It's kind of, again, a mutation of the hippies movement of you never trust anyone over 40 or whatever it was. Well, they had children, and that brings me to me, and then they morphed and mutated that, and then I got kids, and we mutated that. So we're now in a position where there is no authority, or there shouldn't be, because we're authority to ourselves, and how dare anyone tell us what to do? And my boss would only get that through his mind. But again, going back to faith, is it of convenience or is it of conviction? Of our neighbors, of our relationships. And we can just go on and on and on, but I think I don't need to belabor the point. What role is our faith going to have in the practical outworking of our lives this week? Is our faith of conviction or is it convenience? You know, as we were working through Colossians, we talked about contorting our lives. Or maybe like as you look at some of these gymnastic people that can really do amazing things with their flexibility that even if I think of, I can't move the next day. But are we contorting our lives to the teaching of Scripture? Or are we contorting the Scripture to our lives? Or here's again something that I find that oftentimes we do and make a huge mistake. Do we interpret the Bible through our lives? Or do we interpret our lives through the Bible? And that's profound, not to use that colloquial expression. That's huge. Because most of us are interpreting the Bible through our lives, which is a huge mistake. And we ought to be interpreting our lives through the Scripture. All of us have experienced and will continue to experience and to face situations that will force us to make a decision. We read again Deuteronomy 30. And I understand we're a dispensationalist, but there's many New Testament teachings there. Galatians. Whoever sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. It's choose you this day who you will serve. That's basically what it boils down to. As Ken Ham said there at the Wiles, there are still just two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God and pleasing self. And that's what it boils down to. So who will we serve? Heads bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. We're going to...